Facebook. How many hate it? How many love it? So I kind of have a love-hate relationship. What I like about it is I can creep on people and find out about them before I even meet. Now, I mean this all I say this all the time. So in Covenant Hills Board, I'm on the Covenant Hills Board, and I'm the chairman of the membership committee. So we have to look at people who are coming on to our board. We have a couple coming off. So I can creep on them first and see who they're at and who they are and what they write and you know, and also find out details about their life that are important to help connect. And one of the things that Facebook has is relationship status. You familiar with relationship status? So you can check. Yeah, I know, Ramona, you don't even check your Facebook. I know you don't. I know some of you, but if you want, you can find, if somebody cares to fill that part out in their about section, they can have no relationship, they can have in a relationship, and they can also have it's complicated. Right. Okay, so all relationships are complicated, but that's an interesting designation. And as we move into another week talking about the disciplines of discipleship, we're talking about a relationship. It's the relationship we have one to another in the kingdom of God. And I've titled it Connected Community, because just like any other of the disciplines of discipleship, one, it takes time. You have to make time to connect in meaningful ways. So we're all connected. Just because I'm here and I'm speaking to you and you're here and you're listening, or at least pretending to listen, we have a some kind of relationship. Maybe it's complicated, but it doesn't mean we're connected, right? Does it? We're supposed to be in community. God designed us to be in community. So that's what I'm talking about today, but I don't want you to mistake this for a lecture on why you should be in church every Sunday. For one, that'd be dumb. You're here now. So why would I dog you guys about that? Because community is about way much more than what happens for an hour or so on Sunday mornings. What is this community? So I'm turning to the standard passage. It's in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 2. It's an unusual passage in that the church was brand new and some of the dynamics they experienced didn't last for very long. Matter of fact, in 4 years after the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost, things started to radically change as the church was pushed out from its central location of Jerusalem because of the persecution, and everybody fled because Jerusalem was like the hot seat. If you lived in Jerusalem and you were a Christian, you were under the gun and people were after you. But we still see community in the early church, and we need community. So let's just look at that passage, and it's one page on the handout if you have it, so you don't have to, unless you want to make extra notes on the back. We're going to refer back to some things in this passage. It's the only passage this morning. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was the most powerful time in the church. We keep calling back to that day and say, as Pastor Mike prayed for the Spirit to anoint us and fill us, we have this in mind, this kind of connected community that we are fighting to have, because the world wants us to be connected to other things and in other ways, and mostly an individual, you know, pursuit of the individual, which there's a place for that, but it can't be everything. So I just want to draw out what is apparent. There's no theology really going into today. It's drawing some things out. So I encourage you, there's lots of blanks and blank space. Take notes as the Spirit leads you to take notes, as something that touches you or pulls you, or you can say, ah, thank you, Lord. I think I get that, and I'm doing that as we lean into that. And then I'm going to tell you a story about some connected folks. And we'll have a challenge at the end. So number one, they were devoted. They were devoted. And then to a bunch of things. We're going to go through those things, but it's worth defining the word devoted. And I was interested to find out that devoted means they kept adhered to the things that followed. You remember the word adhere if you were here in week one. And I've mentioned it a couple of weeks in the past few because a disciple is an adherent or someone who follows closely, so much so that they're stuck to them. That's the whole word picture that we get there. And so that's what this word said. They were stuck together on purpose, joyfully, in the cause and pursuit of who Jesus was, as we talked about week one, becoming the image of him, taking on his shape. Are we devoted? Are we stuck together in the good ways? Not stuck with, stuck together. Number two, they were together. They were together. Look at the things they did together. They were devoted together to teaching. We have way more options now. They had really two streams of option. They had the Old Testament, and they had the apostles. And the apostles kept telling the story of the 3 years they spent with Jesus. That was their teaching. That was what was going on, and they actually had that awesome, you know, we can't even imagine. Can you imagine somebody who walked physically with Jesus to be in your Bible study, to lead your Bible study? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And he said this, and he cried, I saw him, and all of the rest. So they were hearkening back to their whole history in the Old Testament. And again, for us, the Old Testament has value, but not in the legal following of laws as it is unveiling the truth of our own hearts and the pursuit of self, which the Old Testament shows grossly, and God's patience and his grace and his call and his wanting to bring us back together. They were devoted together for fellowship. Now, here's a different thing. We know what fellowship is, or we think we do. It's potlucks, by the way, the 20th on November, We Care Celebration Sunday, we're having a potluck. So you might want to get ready. When we talk about fellowship, we talk about sitting around the table and joking together and, you know, having coffee or tea or some other concoction and having kind of like socializing. But guess what fellowship means? I was surprised at this. I thought I knew. But fellowship means holding something in common, like beliefs, convictions, and behaviors. So on one hand, we could have a picture that they got together and maybe they played cards. I know they didn't play cards, but you know, and they had that social time, and so they built a relationship. But what this really meant was they were devoted together to the same beliefs, and they made sure, you know, that they were practicing the same things. They were all on the same page. That's what fellowship meant. Now, what is more a fellowship vein, as we interpret that word today, is the other thing, the next thing. They were devoted together for meals. They ate together all the time. Okay, we got that right. Woo! Right? And that's good. You know what happens when they eat meals? When you eat meals together, you develop relational intimacy. Because actually, the truth about this whole subject is the more time we spend together, the more we get to know one another, and the more we develop connections, and the important connections that are developed when people are different than us. And I don't know how that hits you. It hits us all differently, but I'm the kind of guy that would just love for all of you to be exactly like me. Now, I work against that because I know I'm not the standard. Oh, heavens to Betsy, if you guys were all like me, we'd be in trouble. And so sometimes I struggle with the differences, but struggling through differences and finding the common ground and practicing, so that fellowship of practicing the things we do have in common, the belief systems we have, the things we know about Jesus and we need to believe and practice, our convictions, that develops intimacy even through finding that we come at things from different perspectives and angles. So there's a relationship intimacy. I mean, let's face it, if you don't connect with someone, you might have them over for a meal one time. That's not going to happen often. But when you start connecting, it's like, oh, man, it's my turn. And it's not reciprocal, like I owe you, but it's like, oh, I can hardly wait till we get together again. I think that's kind of the thing I'm thinking about when I talk about connected community, that I can hardly wait to be with that person and these people and this group. But something else they did in connection with those meals was they always celebrated the Lord's Supper. It says up there that not only their meals of eating food, but also the Lord's Supper that they were celebrating together. And so that is the remembrance of what is common, what causes fellowship, and what we're even here for, why we're even here together. They were devoted together for teaching, fellowship, and meals. They were devoted together for needs. They pooled their resources, and they used their resources. Now, like I said, for 4 years, it was a little like socialism in its ideal, but it wasn't that, and it didn't last but for 4 years. There was a unique dynamic of 5,000, because we know 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, and then another, there were 5,000 together, and at least those, that's the men, not even counting the wives and family. There was a huge group of people. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that first sermon and the Holy Spirit rushed in and 3,000 were added, yeah, some went back to where they had been come from to be in Jerusalem for that day, but a lot of them stayed because their lives were radically changed. And so that was unique. Like I said, it's only lasted for 4 years. But through the history of the church, it's been this whole thing. Paul's teaching about meeting other needs as he went around to gather money for the church in Jerusalem to supply their financial needs, and how he talked about us supplying one another's needs out of whatever it is I have, because I have something unique, and you have something unique, and you have something unique, and we each need those at different times. Interestingly enough, sometimes we're hesitant to ask. Well, part of our connected community, like eating over meals and developing the relationship intimacy, makes it easier to ask. It's hard. If you're one of those people who are givers, it's hard to ask. I know that. I understand that. But it happens as we develop connected community. And they also were devoted together in prayer. And this word specifically means prayers addressed to God. I don't know if that makes a difference to you. There's all sorts of ways we pray out of the emergency need. Something's happening. Maybe even at the wheel and something's coming at you. But together praying toward God. Again, it is a mirror of the fellowship, which is holding something in common, those beliefs, convictions, and behaviors. So they were devoted. They were together. Number three, they were together everywhere. They weren't together just in the temple courts on Saturdays, which was the Sabbath, Jewish Sabbath. They went everywhere together and did everything together, not ad nauseum. Some of us, like extroverts like me, I got to have some alone time to recharge. Some of you could do everything with everybody else all the time, and you would feel fed and blessed. But it's not an overbearing thing. But look at those few verses and what it talked about where they were at. They went to church together. That is church. They were in the temple of the courtyard of the Gentiles. It was outside of the temple, so it held thousands of people. But they couldn't go any farther because that was the place for legitimate kosher Jews to go in and worship. And then there were even limits on what they could do. They were in their homes every day. We could see they were out with the people and together all the time. Whatever they were doing together everywhere. And number four, because of all this, they enjoyed a rich reward. We talked about blessings a few weeks ago. Actually, it was week three. If you go back into current connections, under Sunday Connections on our website, you can see all, you can hear them, or you can watch the video and the handouts there as well. Sometimes that's a benefit to go back. And we talked about the fact that being a disciple means you have to give something up, because we're choosing to do things Jesus' way, which means I have to give up my way. Not necessarily that your way is evil either, but it's not what he would want for you. But he always gives us benefits that more than make up for what we give up. And this is a benefit, this rich reward. And we see it in verse 43 and verse 47 of the passage we already read. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. In verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The next slide might have all of them. Do you see the things that they were enjoying? They had the awe of God. Do you remember what the awe of God or the awe of anything feels like? Is that a part of your life? Have you ever felt, if you don't have that right now toward God, have you ever seen in person, that sport figure you is your favorite, or the actor, or whatever, and you just like you feel like they're exalted and you're not, and this awe of God. They went around feeling the awe of God. It's such an important thing that sometimes we miss today, this awe of God. When Pastor Mike prayed for us to have the healthy fear of God, that's the same idea of an awe of how wonderful and majestic and powerful and unbeatable. He's unbeatable. Do you know that? God is unbeatable, and we become unbeatable when we are with Him, when we're connected with Him and connected with one another. They had miracles. There is a dearth, that's an old word, an absence, a global absence nearly, or at least a national absence of miracles. I don't believe that God's design was that miracles wouldn't happen anymore today. I believe He wants to do miracles. Now, you can see them if you look, but I believe God wants to do many more miracles. They had unity. Now, we read in the book of Acts, not long into their whole history as a church, that there was a group of people who were not getting the widow's meals. That was part of their pooling their resources and making sure that people, they took care of widows and orphans, but the Greeks weren't getting theirs and the Jews were, and there was some discord, but you see, they worked through that problem. Unity is not that we never find a disagreement, that we never have an issue where we have a conflict. Actually, it's human to be to experience conflict, and in the resolution of conflict, God gives a special grace of growth, personal growth, and a relationship growth between us. They had a unity. They also had goodwill, that is, goodwill of the world. People saw what was going on, and looked at them favorably. Now, I suspect that it's something like today, though we've passed like a point of no return. Well, I don't know if that's true, but a point of, we call it evil. But I know the same thing still happens, where I can look at a group of people and form a negative opinion. But when I have relationship with individuals within there, I can see, hey, this is a human being, and they have, you know, dreams and hopes, and they have goodnesses and maybe badnesses as well. And so from the political structure of their day in the sense of religious politics, which was what the Jewish culture had become, they were downcast, they were scorned, the words were used of derision against them, but the people who saw and were affected by this devoted togetherness, this connectedness, showed them favor. Goodwill from the world, and they had growth. They had personal growth that led to the growth of that group of people, that whole progression from the 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost and another added, so they had 5,000, and it says daily the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. We can say it was a product of an unusual time period, but I believe our scripture shows us it is the product of people who were pursuing a connected community in Christ. This is not be here every time the church is open or at every event we have. I know we can get some stories from some of you. I'm thinking of you, Vicki. I know because you've told me some of those stories. And when I was a kid, now my family fortunately wasn't shifted that way, but I knew lots of people who were. Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night prayer meeting, if there was Thursday night visitation and every special event, everybody was expected to be there, and you were felt guilty if made to feel guilty, maybe not on purpose, but there was some kind of guilt expressed. I want to make sure we're getting around that and saying, that's not what I'm talking about. This connected community is for you. It's a benefit to you. And together, it benefits us together. And it's not everything. So I want to tell you a story of a group of six guys. Well, me and six others, I guess. And I've never experienced the community I had there. And it was at Gaylord, our church, before we came here. I started a group called No Excuses. And it was a group because I'd heard some guys, they're all married guys, And some complained about their wives. Some of them were having difficulty with their kids and their jobs. And I just said, first of all, these guys need, some kind of place to talk and figure this out. And I consider myself, I am a husband and I'm a father. The Bible says some things about being a husband and a father, and they're not easy all the time. That's some hard stuff. And I thought, we just need to get together. We had a very loosely knit structure. We had a passage from 1 Corinthians 13 about love and what that meant. And we reviewed that every day. But then, so we saw each other at church, and we had different functions and served in the church. That's another discipline of discipleship that I'll talk about in a couple weeks, I think. But we met in this group, and we did that once a week. And we shared stories, and we were in community, and we developed intimacy, so much so that we started a ministry, not that group, but the church. We had a campfire, summer campfire ministry. We called it the campfire tour. We had families sign up to host a campfire, and we went around every week in the summer to somebody else's house. And guess who was there at every one of those group of guys and their families? And there were others who came, but because we were in community, we kept meeting. When we could, we met at one of their homes to split wood, because winter was coming, and he heated his house with an outdoor boiler. Had a little girl. We went out and had a wood-splitting party and met that need. He rented the thing, the big old 40-ton wood splitter. It was fun and tiring. In that group, we addressed a pornography addiction, one of our guys. We helped a family get through two miscarriages and the desire to have another child and all the complications, because we were a connected community. And it wasn't just church. Each one of them, except for me because I was the pastor, didn't go to church every Sunday. And even I didn't go on my vacation Sundays. But we met in that small group, and we met in homes and ate with those people. We served the church, and we served each other. One of them had, all of a sudden, a leak in their basement at the where the wall meets the floor. And it's like, so here came the guys, the connected, committed guys, with wet vacs and, you know, all that kind of stuff to help them out and try to figure out what to do, help out with labor when we could, give money when we could. We had this unusual dynamic of permission to text. I can't stand when I get a text at 2 a.m. from some bonehead that doesn't remember that human beings need sleep for some reason. I actually have one string in our family that I have muted because I can't stop this, so at least I don't hear it. But those guys have permission. When you have an emergency, text. That's how we communicate. And let me tell you what, that was used. Sometimes something as simple as an understanding between husband and wife in the middle of the night, and it got really bad. Somebody needed prayer. Because there's a community and intimacy, and we did hard things together. But we were devoted in that sense. This is the sense that I'm talking about. A word occurred to me this morning while the band was warming up: camaraderie. It's different than just saying, church starts in 15 minutes. I think I can get there on time. Or our desire that you join us Wednesday nights for prayer meeting, which is a strong desire. There's power in prayer, and we would love to have more of you. But the obligation that you have to do it, or that there's an event you have to show up for, it is this, the same dynamic that the infant church were devoted to because they knew they needed to. It's what I saw earlier this week when I looked over at the Thompson's house. There was a big cement truck in the driveway. First, I was mad because somebody parked their camper out here, and I thought, somebody's using our parking lot. Well, it was Jim's camper, so he could pour his cement. And there was Dennis, not in church, doing something holy, putting in cement. It's living our life together, and not just this one moment. And I know this is present, so I want to say, I don't believe this is not present. That's one of the evidences of that help. There are connectednesses, but we need more. And I guess I'm in part talking to people who don't hear this message right now, perhaps. But I'm also talking to all of us because we need this. We need this, and why do we need this? Because we're in a battle of two kingdoms. We talked about this, I think it's the second week. There are two kingdoms. And the kingdom of the enemy is full force trying to split us up, trying to keep us apart. The truth of the matter is the thing you continue to practice will become a part of you, even if you don't like it at first. Even if you say something like, well, I know I should be committed and involved in this way, but I have so many of these other things. I know it's not good for me to do that, but you know this. Like, if you miss three Sundays in a row, how easy is it to miss the fourth? So that's just talking about Sunday dynamics, but I'm talking about family dynamics, and this is the discipleship family dynamics. We are in a battle of kingdoms, and this is one of the ways where we keep reinforcing the fellowship. So remember what that means. It's really important. Holding something in common. We have these beliefs in common. Reinforcing the beliefs we have in common. And so being available for needs that get met, because, you know, if we don't meet one another's needs, the world will supply a fake need filler. And it'll seem to do the trick, but man, does the taste get bitter. And by the time you realize it, it could be too late. And you find yourself not connected, maybe even connected to some other group with a whole different set of beliefs. I just keep thinking, because of my age, of the theme from the old sitcom Cheers, the place where everybody knows your name, and it was advertised that you go down there with your drinking buddies and you share life. Well, you know what? They were on to something, but God has provided the best version of that connection. No hangovers. No things done and no memory of them. And we could go on and on. I want that story, sort of like that group of six guys and their families, to be our story and continue to be our story as we stand against the enemy. So it just says at the bottom, what do you want? What will you do? So just one more reminder, time always comes into play when we talk about disciplines and discipleship. Something got to go if you're going to do something different. So you need to pray. Not only do you need to pray for yourself, but you need to pray for all the rest of us, that we can see where we're connecting, and instead of it actually being beneficial to the common belief system we have in Christ, our fellowship, it's feeding something else entirely, which is always negative. And then how can I trade that? How can I give that to God, surrender it to Him, and say, okay, Lord, how do I get committed? And from an extrovert's perspective, now I'm aided by years of ministry and being around people and having patterns and habits, but if you're out there and you're an extrovert and it's just like you don't want to get with people ever, I understand that, but man, you just have to start doing that. And the more you practice it, the easier it comes. And the more you stop practicing it, the harder it becomes. And it's really quick how that works out. So what do you want? Do you want the awe, miracles, unity, goodwill, and growth? Personally, as well as together as a church, and worldwide as the Church of Christ in the world. They got it because they were devoted to themselves. They were committed to their connection with one another in Christ. He designed us for that. His ideal that we would successfully follow Him comes about as we are in connection with one another. So, what do you need to do? Let's stand and close in prayer, and the team will come up and sing us out with the doxology. And then we got to do something or continue to nourish what we are doing, however that is to you. Let's pray together. Lord, I just struggle, you know, because I want to put better words to things. You know how I think, and I want to perfectly describe it so it makes sense. I know that's not how things work. You are the God of wonders who does wonderful things. And you show us concepts and stories of truth in your word. The story I told about my group of guys can be told over and over again about people in the word who are connected and devoted to you and therefore to one another and all the positives that happened. And in the increasingly hostile environment we will live in, as we see some laws changing and challenging our ability to make our own choices without hassle, we're going to need this even more. And the lies, or maybe I'll say half-truths, that are told that can tempt us to think we're following the right paths, but in reality they're leading us into the kingdom of the world. We need to fight against that. We need your power against that. And I know such a large part of how you do that is that we are committed as a community one to another. To be together for worship and praise, for fun and meals, for work and supplying needs, for prayer. And that's subdivided in so many other little things. Lord, would you give us vision, a sight to see for ourselves and to see in one another the needs to get together and do that. And lead us and help us to know how we can do that in small groups and in our weekly church gathering and in the different things that are going on in teams that meet to get function, certain things done. And maybe not most of all, but certainly with power, that together in this same kind of connected community we can talk to our neighbors and our friends and the people we meet so that we can continue to spread the message of the gospel, your grace, your love. So lead us in this. Help us to know what we want, what we should want, and how to give up whatever needs to be given up to take in or on what we need to take on so we can do this. Continue to cement us together at LFM as a connected community. I know there's some people here from other churches this morning as well. I thank you that they can be connected in their community and have a connection with our community too. I love that that's how you've made your whole family to operate. Help us to operate in the fullness of that so that you receive glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.